See you all here on this beautiful Sunday morning that God has given to us. A very special welcome to anyone who is visiting with us today. If you live in the area and are looking for a church to call your very own home, we'd love to have you join us here at Atonement. If you are traveling on this beautiful day, we pray for safe travel and a joyful homecoming for you. As always, when we gather for worship, the sacrament of Holy Communion is offered as a central part, and all of you are invited to come and have your faith fed and refreshed through the gifts God gives us at his table today. Today is All Saints Sunday on the church's calendar, a day set aside to commemorate and remember and celebrate all the saints of God, living and dead, all who are called by the grace of God to be his children. We have four candles on the table in front of us in remembrance and celebration of those four that we have lost from our little family of faith this year. Carol Baker, Ann Davis, Alex Swearingen, and Ruth Zagel. The symphony's in town. Yay. And so we welcome Alistair Cope joining us. They gave a fabulous concert last night, and I'm sure it will be almost as good today. I told Alistair that I was looking for him on stage, and I couldn't find him because, like me, he's gone prematurely gray. Thank you for being here, Alistair. Tomorrow morning at 9:30 to 11:30, our little quilting group, The Ties That Bind, will gather. And it says for laughs, conversation, fellowship, coffee, and if there's time, some quilt tying. So please join them for that. That joke went right over their heads, didn't it? Okay. Anything else need to be announced this morning? Yes, Sally.
The date for Stone Soup this month is incorrect in the words of the week. It should be Monday, November 26th. That's the Monday after the Thanksgiving weekend. It says October 22nd, which is the first clue. And also, I put a basket in Renette's office on Wednesday. If anyone wants to drop off jewelry, watches, beads, broken jewelry, etc., we'll be collecting all year long for Bejeweled, which is an annual fundraiser for Lincoln County Food Share. They raise about $18,000 in one day, which buys a lot of food. And so if you have items you don't want anymore, please donate them. Thank you.
And did I mention the food baskets?
No.
Okay, we're gathering food for the Thanksgiving food baskets as well, and there are grocery bags and also shopping lists out there. So if you'd like to participate, please pick up one of those and do some shopping and bring it back to the church sometime between now and the 20th or so. And if you don't want to shop and just want to give some money, make sure that it's marked for the Thanksgiving food baskets, and we'll keep that straight. All right, please stand now for the rite of remembrance on this All Saints Sunday. You're going to need your bulletin in one hand and your hymnal turned to number 422 for All the Saints. And we begin by singing verses 1 and 2. Silence waits. From God comes my salvation. God alone is my rock, my salvation, and my fortress. I shall never be shaken. For God alone my soul in silence waits. Truly my hope is in God.
From the depths of the earth you bring me up, O God, for you are my redeemer.
We sing verse 2. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the source of all mercy and the God of all consolation. He comforts us in all our sorrows, so that we can comfort others in their sorrows with the consolation we ourselves have received from God. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. We sing verses 4 and 5.
And when the strife is itself warfare long, still from the ear a distant triumph song.
God, those who die in the Lord still live with you in joy and blessedness. We give you thanks and praise for the grace you have bestowed upon your servants who have finished their course in faith and who now rest from their labors. We especially give you thanks for those who have died from among us this past year, Carol Baker, Ann Davis, Alex Swearingen, Ruth Zagel, and those who we now name before you in our hearts. Into your hands we commend them, O merciful Savior, sheep of your own fold, lambs of your own flock, sinners of your own redeeming. Rest eternal grant them, O Lord, and let the light of your love shine on them now and forever.
Amen.
We sing verses 6 and 7. Saints, grace, mercy, and peace be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Thank you.
our help in ages past, and our hope for years to come. We give you thanks for all your faithful people who have followed the light of your word throughout the centuries. Strengthen us now to follow Christ through this world until we are gathered into the harvest of eternal life, where suffering and death will be no more. Hear our prayer in the name of the good and gracious Shepherd, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I would invite the children to come forward for the children's message. Good morning. I'm killing time, seeing if your brothers can show up. Oh, Aaron, we're ready. So, last Wednesday was what? What was last Wednesday?
Halloween.
Did you go trick-or-treating?
Yeah.
Yeah? What was your costume?
Dorothy.
Huh?
Dorothy.
My
mom was Glenda the Good Witch.
Your mom was Glenda the Good Witch? And your dad was the cowardly lion. Well, that's what he was. A cowardly lion. What were you? A knight. Rather than the day, you were the knight. Never mind, dumb joke. Here comes your brother. How about you? Huh? A fox? Cool. Did you go?
I went, yes.
And did you wear a costume?
I did not.
You did not, okay. And how about you? What was your costume on Halloween? We're talking about Halloween.
A pirate.
A pirate? Cool. Did you have an eye patch?
Yes.
Cool. All right. The scarf on your head? No? Okay. The reason I bring that up is Halloween is actually the day before All Saints Day. It used to be called All Hallows Eve, which you don't care about. Later on, got shortened to Halloween, but it's really the day before All Saints Day. And today's All Saints Sunday, which is a festival when we remember all those people who, living and dead, belong to God. And we focus a lot on the people who have gone to heaven to be with God, all the saints. Saints aren't superhuman people that do incredible stuff. Saints are people that God has come to live in. And so I thought about that today in terms of Halloween. Jack-o'-lanterns. Did you have a jack-o'-lantern this year for Halloween?
I had a kitty jack-o'-lantern.
You had a what?
A kitty jack-o'-lantern.
A kitty jack-o'-lantern. How does that work? So what do you to make a jack-o'-lantern? First you have to do what?
Carve it.
You got to choose one, right? You got to go find a pumpkin.
Carve it.
I'm not there yet. First you got to go find one, right? And you got to choose it. And there's lots of different kinds of pumpkins, right? You have to decide how big you want it, if you want a little bitty one or a great big huge one, how much money your parents want to spend. What else you got to decide? If you want an orange one, or they come in all kinds of colors now, don't they? Orange one, or a yellow one, or a pink one, or a blue one, or a purple one. A white one, yeah. There's lots of pumpkins out there these days. So you choose one that you want, and then you take it home, and what do you got to do to it? But first you gotta
gut it.
Gut it. How do you do that? First you gotta cut around the top and take it off, and then you gotta dig in there and take all the yucky, yucky stuff out of it, right? That's not my favorite part. Not my favorite part. But when all that's out, you put the top back on, maybe, and then what do you do? Which means what? Carve it into what? A jack-o'-lantern, but so what do you put on it?
A candle.
Not yet. When you carve it, what do you carve it into? What do you carve on the front of it?
A face.
A face. A smiley face?
Probably a scary face.
Or a scary face. Usually kind of a snaggletooth face. Right? And then what do you put in it? a candle. You put a light in it, right? And then you set it on the porch and it gives light to the neighborhood. So I thought about that in terms of what God does for us as his people. God chooses us, right? And we come in all shapes and sizes. We come in all kinds of colors. And some of us have warts and some of us don't. But God chooses us, right? Because God loves us. God chooses us. And then God doesn't gut us, essentially. And God doesn't cut us open. But God comes into us in our baptism. And when God comes into us, he fills us with his love and his grace and his mercy. And because God loves us so much, God takes out all the stuff that's yucky. All the yucky stuff that's inside a pumpkin. It's like the anger and the hatred and the pride, all those yucky things God takes out of there and just fills us with his love. And because God loves us so much and God lives in us, what happens to our face? It's a happy face, right? Because God loves us and we're his children. What's not to be happy about, right? And then, most importantly maybe, what does God put in us?
Love.
Love and his light. The light of his love. So that we can shine that light into the world. And all people look at us and they see, that person is a saint of God. And that's what All Saints Sunday is about. So, I thought we could close this by singing, since God put his light in us, we could sing one little verse of This Little Light of Mine, okay? Because we have that light shining in us like a jack-o'-lantern for Jesus. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of
Dear God, we do thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to be our Savior and our Lord, and we thank you that you have put your light and your love inside each of us. Help us to share that light and that love with everyone we know so that they can come and join us in worshiping you too. Bless these children today and always, and keep them in your care. Amen. Thanks, kids. You can go out there for Sunday school now. Thank you. That's what you get when you get a tenor to start that song. It gets too high, right?
Eternal life. Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's first lesson, Isaiah 25, verse 6 to 9. Isaiah sees a vision of the end of days, when the Lord will gather all God's people, God's holy mountain, and will prepare for them rich feast. At this banquet, the Lord will wipe the tears from our eyes. And there will be no more sorrow, for God will destroy that itself. Hear now the word. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shadow that is cast over all people, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up that forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of His people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in this salvation. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Today, Psalm 24. I will read light print. You will read dark print, please. I will bless the Lord all times. The praise of God shall ever be in my mouth.
I will glory in the Lord,
and let the whole of him rejoice. Proclaim with me the greatness of the Lord. Let us exalt God's name together.
I sought the Lord who answered me and delivered me from all my terrors.
Look upon the Lord and be radiant. And let not your face be downcast. I call in my affliction, and the Lord hear me, and save me from all my troubles. And angels of the Lord encamps around those who fear the Lord and delivers them.
Praise be the Lord's good.
Happy are they who take refuge in good. Fear the Lord, you saints of the Lord, for those who fear the Lord lack nothing.
The lions and the lions
and suffer hunger, but those who are seek the Lord lack nothing that is good. O Lord, you redeem the life of your servants, and those who put their trust in you will not be punished. Second reading, Revelation chapter 21, 1-6. Here is the vision of the new heaven and new earth in which God resides fully with God's people, so that mourn, despair, and pain have been eradicated. This renewing, worth from the God who spans all times are trustworthy and true. Hear now the word. Then I saw a new heaven and new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth and passed away. And the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this, for those words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, and beginning and the end. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God."
Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I've said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Mary and Martha sat at the bedside of their dying brother Lazarus. They did what they could to make him comfortable, offering him tiny sips of water and mopping his forehead with wet cloths. As they sat there together, hour after hour, they remembered happier times spent with one another, sharing stories that left them giggling, even as tears of worry and fear ran down their cheeks. Through it all, they encouraged their brother, urging him to hold on, to continue to struggle, to fight against the force which sought to take him away from them. "Hold on," they would say, "hold on for just a little longer. Jesus is coming and he will know what to do." Days before, they had sent a messenger to Jesus, their friend, with the urgent news, "Lazarus, the one you love, is dying." But the messenger had returned alone. Yes, he told his sisters the message had been delivered, but no, Jesus had not returned with him, nor had he sent word about when he might arrive. And so every once in a while, one of the sisters would leave the bedside, go stand in the doorway of the house, wringing her hands, scanning the horizon, looking for Jesus. Where was he? What could be taking him so long? Surely he must be on his way. Surely he must be hurrying to get there. Surely he would come in time to do something, anything, to save their brother from death. But Jesus did not arrive, and finally Lazarus could hold out no longer. Finally, he breathed his last breath, and he was gone. The sisters could scarcely believe it when it happened. They never thought it would end like this. To the very end, they held out hope that a miracle would occur, that Jesus would come rushing over the hillside, touch their brother, and spare him this fate. But instead, they sat weeping beside the deathbed of their brother, for now there would be no miracle. Lazarus was dead. How often that scene has been played out in our midst, in our lives. A loved one is suddenly stricken with a dread disease or the victim of a tragic accident. We gather around them hoping and praying that a miracle might occur, hoping and praying that Jesus would enter the room, touch our loved one with his healing power, and restore them to life. But often as not, there is no miracle, at least not the one we prayed for. And like Mary and Martha, we are left weeping over the lifeless body of one we loved. But for Mary and Martha, there really wasn't much time for weeping. There were preparations to be made. There was a tomb to be secured and made ready. There was a body to prepare for burial. So Mary and Martha made their preparations. Through their tears, they lovingly prepared the body of their brother, cleansing him and anointing his body with sweet-smelling oils and wrapping it with strips of cloth. The next day, the mourners arrived, and Lazarus' body was carried through the streets of Bethany amid the cries and the shouts of grief. He was then laid in a tomb, and a large stone was rolled against its entrance. The next couple of days were a whirlwind of activity for the sisters. They held back their grief by caring for the many mourners who had come to help lay Lazarus to rest. Each evening they would drop exhausted into their beds, and then the sorrow would return, and they would wonder again, Jesus, where were you? Jesus, where are you now? And then on the fourth day, a messenger ran into Bethany to the house of Mary and Martha. He found Martha first and said to her, Jesus is coming. He is now drawing near. So Martha immediately ran out the door and went to meet Jesus on the road. Jesus saw her coming, and he stopped to wait for her. When Martha got to him, all the grief and anger she had been storing came pouring out. She made two fists and began pounding on Jesus' chest. Lord, Lord, where were you? Why weren't you here? Why didn't you come? If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Gently, Jesus grabbed Martha's wrist, and she slumped against him and began to sob. Where are you, Jesus? Where were you, Jesus? Don't you care, Jesus? Don't you care that my loved one is dying? Don't you care that my heart is breaking? Don't you care that my life is being shattered? Where are you, Jesus, when cancer strikes? Where were you, Jesus, when the accident occurred? How often we've asked those questions. How often, like Martha, we have struggled to understand a God of love and power as we suffer the brokenness of this world. Gradually, Martha's cries subsided, and she raised her pain-filled eyes to Jesus. Oh, Lord, I wish you would come. And yet, even now, I know that whatever you ask, God will give to you. Jesus looked into her eyes and softly said, Martha, your brother will rise again. Oh, I know, she whined. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. But right now, in her grief, that seemed to her to be like an empty promise. But then Jesus spoke to her the words that stand at the very heart of this story, words of hope and promise that even today we struggle to understand and believe. I am the resurrection and the life, he said. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. and everyone who lives and believes in me will never perish. Martha, do you believe this? She nodded, looked up into his eyes again, and whispered, Yes, Lord, I do believe. I've always believed that you are the one sent by God into this world. Jesus then released her and said, Now go and find Mary and tell her that I'd like to see her. So Martha hurried into the house, which was still filled with visitors, took Mary aside and said to her, Mary, the teacher is here and he's looking for you. Immediately Mary went to him, followed by all the mourners who believed that she was going to the tomb to mourn. As soon as Mary saw Jesus, her composure again collapsed, and she ran up and fell at his feet, saying, Lord, O Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. Those who followed Mary nodded their heads in assent. Yes, she's right. Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? And then John tells us that something came over Jesus, something like a deep, deep anger. Anger that God's good creation had been corrupted so. Anger that God's loving intention for his people had been so shattered, so spoiled. Anger that death stalked God's people and cut them down without mercy. And in his anger, Jesus wept. He wept for Mary and Martha, feeling with them the pain and sorrow that death always brings. He wept for Lazarus, his dear friend, now dead. And I think he wept for himself as well. For he knew that in order to deal with this corruption and this brokenness and to make it right and whole once again, that a cross, a tomb, and a stone lay in his future too. But then Jesus straightened up, wiped the tears from his eyes, and with a voice filled with grim determination said, Where have you laid him? Mary responded, Lord, come and see. So the whole procession followed until they stopped outside a small cave whose opening was covered by a large stone. Jesus walked to the tomb, ran his hand over that stone, then turned to some of the men standing nearby and said, Take the stone away. Martha was shocked by those words. Lord, she exclaimed, It's been 4 days now since he died. By now there will be a terrible odor. But Jesus would not be turned aside. He looked directly at Martha and said, Didn't I tell you that if you believed in me, you would see the glory of God? And so the men reluctantly moved forward and did as Jesus had commanded. As they rolled back the stone, Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and in a loud voice said, Father, I thank you for having heard me, for I know that you hear me always. But I say this for the sake of those standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. And then he shouted, Lazarus, come out. Now I think the people in the crowd took a step or two backward at those words, not really sure they wanted to be here anymore. But in that tomb there was a stirring sound, and then slowly out came Lazarus, still wrapped in the cloths of his death and burial. And Jesus turned to Mary and Martha and to all the rest, and in a quiet voice he said to them, Unbind him and let him go free. Unbind him and let him go free. 2,000 years later, we are still a people who need to hear those words. 2,000 years later, we are still a people who are jerked around by death. Yes, there's so much grief, so much sorrow, so much tragedy in this life. It seems like we're always going to funerals. But Jesus refuses to be jerked around by death. Instead, he takes it head on, dying for us on a cross and rising to life again so that he can work his life-giving miracle in your life and in mine. The truth of this story came home to me in a powerful way when I read a story in a magazine some time ago. It's a story that unfortunately is told over and over and over again in our culture. The story was about a young woman named Katie, 19 years of age, who was abducted and murdered in Moose Lake, Minnesota. As Katie's parents met with the pastor of Hope Lutheran Church to plan their daughter's funeral service, her father shared these words with that pastor. A day or two after Katie's abduction happened, Hope Lutheran Church had a small prayer service about 8:30. My wife Pam and I arrived late, and we sat in the back. I was sobbing uncontrollably. Then I looked up at the cross in the front of the church, and it was like a slap in the face. A sense of peace suddenly came over me, and I knew that everything would be okay, no matter what. Oh, I'm still going to cry and miss her, but I know she's okay. That is the hope, the promise, and the peace that Jesus brings to each of us here on this All Saints Sunday. For there is in each of our futures a time of final breath, a time of death, a time of burial. But because of Jesus, there is also a time of resurrection and new life. For this very same Jesus, who stood outside Lazarus' tomb and called him from death to life, will also one day stand beside our final resting places, and he will shout, "Child of God, come out. Unbind him, unbind her, and let them be set free." And we will be free. We will at last be free. For there is in our future a home, a holy city where we will dwell with our God and with all the saints. There is in our future a time when death will be no more, a time when grief and sorrow and pain will be things of the long dead past. There is in our future a feast in the kingdom of God, a feast of love, a feast of life prepared for us by our God, who will remove from us the shroud of death forever. Today, we people of God, we saints of God, receive a foretaste of that peace to come. We come today with empty hands and hungry hearts, and we receive the gifts of new life, the body and the blood of our crucified and risen Lord and Savior Jesus. These gifts are a sign and a pledge to us that our God is faithful still. They are a sign and a pledge to us that our God does care, that our God has acted decisively to destroy the power of death, to set us free and give us new life. So, saints of God, come and eat. Come and drink. Come and know that in the end, everything will be okay. For the promise of our Lord to us today and always is this: I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. Yet shall we live. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Please stand as we sing together number 630, In Heaven Above.
Our Father.
Please join me now in the affirmation of faith printed on page 7 in your bulletin. I believe in God, who has created all life and continues to create new life in me. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. By his life, death, and resurrection, he has saved and redeemed the whole world so that we can know the true depth of human possibility and experience the true joy of abundant life, both now and forever. I believe the Holy Spirit is present now and always, calling me to faith, giving me gifts, and empowering me for the life of service, which is my calling. Through that Spirit, God has called and gathered his church to be the body of Christ, celebrating God's presence, standing with the poor and oppressed, working for peace and justice, loving and serving all people. Amen.
Prayers of the church with the people of God gathered here and throughout the world. We offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. Lord God, the virgin of all creation, drew us into your presence and transform us to be a holy people. Bless us through your word and holy meal to show your uncommon love to others. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Move us to be in vibrant, corrupted, polluted,
polluted
waters and air, renew, follow, bears, and revive natural habitats that have been destroyed. Open your eyes to the bounty you have given us and inspire us to tend to it. Lord, in your mercy, fill your public servants and we who elect them to office with your wisdom. Let your justice flow through our government and institutions. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Unbind those who are burdened by illnesses or grief. Wipe away the tears of those who cannot see your life through the weight of their affliction. Be with those who will die today. Lord, in your mercy, strengthen and bless this congregation's ministries of outreach, healing, and hospitality. Make us eager to receive those you send to us. Lord, in your mercy, we bless you for the lives of the saints who now rejoice in your salvation face to face. Join us with all whom you have made righteousness and preserve us in eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
we pray, gracious God, that you would come to touch the lives of all who are broken this day in body, mind, or spirit. Remembering especially in our prayers today, Kevin Lent, Sarah Snyder, Ann Swinehart, Judy Whitlatch, Laura Cusick, Kevin White, Megan Young, Don Matthews, John Stern, Pam Archer, Tracy Meister, Lynn Clark, Judy Hitland, Nick Weisner, Raymond Duarte, Shannon White, Sandy Rumagu, and David and Donna Bowman. Come to these and to all who suffer in any way this day, O God, and fill them with your gifts of healing and wholeness, with your presence and with your peace. Lord, in your mercy,
Hear our prayer.
Hear now the prayers of these your children, O God, whether we speak those prayers to you aloud or whisper them to you in the silence of our hearts. Hear our prayer. Enfold all things in your compassion, O God, and bring us into your life through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Share that peace with your brothers and sisters. Our service will continue now with the offering. Thank you. Let us pray. Creator God, you made everything, and you provide for every need. The bread we break and the wine we pour come from you. As we eat and drink with thanksgiving, fill us with your love. Let that love flow through us to others, and join us to the saints before us in a holy and boundless communion. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and
it is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy.
Holy and mighty, holy and immortal, surrounded by evil and bordered by death, we appeal to you, our sovereign, our wisdom, and our judge. We praise you for Christ, who proclaimed your reign of peace and promised an end to injustice and harm, suffering and death. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, the sacrifice of his life and death and the victory of the resurrection, we await with all the saints his loving redemption of our suffering world. Send your spirit on these gifts of bread and wine and on all who share in the body and blood of your Son. Teach us your mercy and justice, and make all things new in Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. The sacrament will be received today standing or kneeling at the altar railing and using the individual glasses. The purple liquid on the outer rings is wine. The clear liquid in the center is grape juice. I also have gluten-free wafers available. If you have need of those, let me know when you come forward. Goodness is stronger than evil. Life is stronger than death. Come, taste the goodness and the life of your God. We sing the Lamb of God.